Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Well, always.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight.
It is.
In business, every day is a fight.
Somewhat.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Yeah, thank you, John David Wells. This is the What's Your Problem podcast coming to you from the J2HQ. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, from JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. We're talking all things, you know, for Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals. It's always something that keeps you awake at night because it's always something. This is a video and audio podcast. If you don't want to see my ugly mug, you can always listen. Check us out at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. And today, got an old friend of mine coming through. She and I came up in Nashville radio together. Please welcome to the show, Julie Chadbourne. How are you?
Good.
It's always wonderful to see you. It's been a minute.
It has. It's been too long.
Right? It has been too long. Crazy, isn't it?
I know.
And you're one of these guru. You're like a guru when it comes to online marketing, SEO, all that fun stuff. A lot of fun. And we're going to get things kicked off. I'm sure you listened to the podcast before.
Yeah.
With the... five random questions.
Yes.
Let me get them all pulled up here.
All right, let's go.
I think I would have this ahead of time all prepared, but you know. All right, question number one. You ready?
How random is this?
They're very random. I mean, I literally hit refresh and it's a new question. Okay, here we go. What are the most you, or when are you the most you that you can be? In other words, when do you feel most like yourself?
Oh boy.
Right?
Okay, so I think I always feel the most me, which could be problematic.
You do your own thing.
I am unapologetically me all the time.
It's been an enviable trait of yours that I've always admired.
Thank you, Jim.
Since I've known you, you've always just kind of
this
done,
is it? This is
who Julie is. Right. Question number two, what's happening now that in 20 years people will look back on and laugh about?
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good one.
Everything.
Think so? Yeah, I agree.
Everything. I think one of the things that we will look back and laugh about is this is digital currency. I think it will still be here.
Right.
I just think that the extreme aversion to change and not understanding that monetary systems can grow and evolve and suit the needs of people. I think we're going to look back and laugh at how crazy resistant so many people were to it.
Let's earmark that. I want to cover that when we get back to when we're done with this stuff.
Let's go.
Let me go hit the refresh button then again. All right. How different do you act when you are with acquaintances versus people you are comfortable with?
Unfortunately, not very different.
I'm like, I don't see it there. I've seen you with a multitude of people.
Yeah.
All right. On a weekend or a holiday, what's the best time of day and the best time of night?
Okay, best time of day is... Wait, weekend and holiday?
I think so.
Okay. Sure. So I would say for me, the best time of day is always right before noon, right around 11.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because like nooners and stuff like that? Or
I don't know.
No?
No. You know, I'm not like a napper or anything like that. I am the opposite of a morning person. I am not a morning person. I wish they didn't exist.
Right.
But I, for some reason, feel like I'm at my best and really ready to fire on all cylinders around that time.
Oh, I gotcha. Question number five, final question. What are you looking forward to that's happening soon?
Everything.
Everything. Nothing in particular comes to mind.
No, not really. I mean, I'm so easily excitable and throw myself into every single thing I commit to.
Right.
And everything. That's all you get.
Oh, that's all I get. Okay. Well, run with it. Hey, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for participating. Getting back to what you mentioned before, interesting topic, cryptocurrency. That is a hot topic these days. People talking about NFTs and all that stuff. And there are people that I want to say think they know what they are. There are definitely people who know what they are. Cryptocurrency, I agree with you. The adoption era is still in play. I'm invested in a few cryptos here and there that I've steadily been putting money into.
What
as
do you
I
like?
Get it.
What you got?
You know, I did the Shiba at first.
Okay. Yeah.
I put some more in Cardano this morning.
Yeah.
Crypto.com, HBAR.
Okay. I don't know it.
Yeah. It's just one that I saw that was coming up, and it's like, you know, it's got like five zeros before the first number, that kind of thing. So if it ever pops, then great, you know.
Sure.
You can buy $50.
You can say you can buy a million coins.
Right. I have like 90 million of them.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
You know, so that's what I'm kind of playing with. I think I'm looking at it as it's the internet circa 1995.
It
right
is.
Now.
It is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew what to do with it. Hey, you can put your credit card on it and actually shop on the internet. But, you know, I'm not going to do that right now because it's the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I told my mother back in the day, I said, hey, you can go shopping on the internet.
Oh, forget it.
She was not having it.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, so, it's terrifying, right?
It's crazy.
Well, you know, there's still a lot of people that don't understand the stock market and how that works.
Yeah.
And it can feel very Wild West as well.
Right.
And, you know, there are also a lot of scams. Anytime a scammer smells money, they're going to attach themselves to some sort of situation that involves them to profit from that. You know, we still have a lot to understand and know about the use cases for certain cryptocurrencies. Not all cryptocurrencies are backed by an asset or have something of a tangible value. They may not have a purpose other than being fun. But that's okay. That's got to be okay. It's part of the culture.
They're kind of dollar alternatives right now. But at the same time, what are we all doing? I mean, it's like the stock market.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we want to turn them back into dollars.
Exactly. You know, imagine having in a card where you can leverage the assets you have in your existing stock account to buy things or to get more yield. Cryptocurrency market is so new. There's so many different new technology terms that might not be very tangible and easily understood by folks. I think that's a barrier to entry. But like if you think about right now, you put your money in the bank and what happens? How much money do you make off of that? I mean, I don't care how much money you have in the bank, but what are you really making off of it? You're not making any money, but the bank's making a ton of money off of it. Thank you very much. You know, but you can just take a basic... You can have a basic investment in something like USDT, which is Tether. Mm-hmm. It's dollar backed. It's a 1-to-1 ratio, but you might be able to get several percentage points yield of you can basically stake that investment you have and get interest every single month off of it.
That's like a newer concept.
Interest. Can you imagine if you got 15% interest?
Cardano is, I think the staking is 2.5 or something.
Yeah. At the moment. Anything you can get, to be honest, is higher than what you're getting from the bank.
Right, right.
And so I tell people when they're interested in getting into cryptocurrency, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a marketer and I'm an operations leader. I'm not an advisor. But I do tell people who are curious and they want to dip their toe in it and they don't understand what to do, do your research, look at white papers, figure out what this token is backed by and how stable it is. And if you still can't figure out what you want to do, go put your money in something that's backed by the dollar, like Tether.
Right.
And just let it sit there like you'd let it sit in a savings account and sign up for the rewards, the yield, get that interest generating, and you're never going to lose money on that because it's stable coin. And it's a really great, safe place to start to make some money.
Right. What are you into? What do you like?
Oh my God. I'm into too much right now.
Really?
Even for my taste, I'm high risk, high reward sort of person. I live my whole life.
Right.
But I have a little bit of a lot of things. I definitely have at least 20 something
different
coins. So, I mean, I've got some fun meme coins. I've tried to get into the culture side of it. I've got some Shiba.
Yeah, I mean, did you load up on it?
I have some Doge. I did. Yeah. I sold most of it, though.
Did you?
I did load up on it. I got really, I just thought it was really fun to be able to own 9 billion coins.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I look at it this way. If it goes, then great. I'm in a good position.
Yeah.
You know?
And I spent, like, really did spend, well, you know, maybe $13 or something. It really, honest to God, wasn't that much, but.
You might as well just hold on to it.
Right? You know, yeah.
Why not? Yeah, I'm looking at it now on my Coinbase.
Yeah, yeah. I've got Cardano.
Cardano, Shiba, mm-hmm. Crypto.
I've got Avalanche. I love Avalanche.
Stellar Lumens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I've got over 1,000 of those. So, you know, a fraction of Litecoin.
Yeah, I've got some Litecoin.
You got some Litecoin?
Yeah, I do.
Do I need more of that, you think? Or? Yeah,
In my personal opinion, I do like Litecoin. I've got some.
They're just, you know, not like, you know, they're not under a dollar, so I'm cheap.
If
something's gonna go big, I'm just gonna bet on the you know, smallest horse.
Some other ones I have that I really like. I got Axie Infinity. Mm-hmm. Play to earn gaming is a really big deal.
Right.
We can talk about NFTs if you want to, but you know, NFTs are something that I think are just extraordinarily misunderstood. And Axie Infinity. It was a game, okay, right. And gamers can play to earn tokens. Token is an NFT, right? So anyway, play to earn these tokens that can be redeemed for things inside the game. It's really a cool concept that you are going to play something, and in exchange for your achievements, you earn something.
Right.
So anyway, Axie has their own token, and they're the biggest. And that doesn't necessarily mean you should get involved because they're the biggest, but I just really believe in them. I like Axie a lot. I think I feel like they've got some solvency and some stability. They survived actually a major hack.
Right.
The network, a bridge that their company was using was hacked this year. It's one of the biggest of all time.
Right.
$610 million in a fake. I feel like you survived that. You've got something.
It's just amazing to me. The first time I got into it was 2018. I bought a bunch of Ripple.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Now I can't do anything with it.
Well, you can still own it.
I totally own it, but I can't sell it or I can't buy it anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's
until
crazy.
Until the case is settled.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know.
Do you have Ripple?
I don't have any Ripple. No. I've got Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I've got.
I bought Ripple at over $3
Ethereum.
A friggin' coin.
Wow.
Yeah. Now it's like 89 cents.
Wow. Well, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
But,
They're still here, though.
You know,
it's okay. You never know. I mean, if you are a traditional investor and you study the market, you look at some of the bigger players like Amazon and Google. I mean, those stocks, they swing.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the pendulum earlier. I mean, looking at the highs and lows and within the day. Not just the year, but I mean, they swing hundreds of dollars. I mean, investing is not for everyone.
I'm a major hodler.
Stomach. Yeah.
Major hodler.
Yeah. I am too. And when it comes to the stocks that I feel like I know really well, and then for some reason, it's just paradoxical thinking, if that's a word. For things that I don't know very well, I will run head first into it, or aping as they call it.
Right.
I'll ape into it, and but because I really didn't have, I had the emotional connection, it caused me to want to buy, but I didn't really truly believe it.
Right.
I don't hodl it at all. I'm gone. I'll sell it so fast.
Now I'm going to try and explain what NFTs are. You tell me
please.
If I'm right or wrong.
All right, let's go.
Okay. NFTs are like, let's say, for example, I want to build a car, but I want to piece out each of the car, like the taillight you can own, mm-hmm. and make it an NFT. And in perpetuity, as long as you hold on to that NFT, you're the owner of that taillight.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I still can't make sense of it in my head, but you know.
Okay.
It's fractional ownership of a larger item, I guess.
I think that is one of the, there are many use cases for NFTs.
Right.
NFTs, the worst name ever, by the way. Can we at least agree that non-fungible token does not roll off the tongue?
NFTs sounds cool, though.
Way better.
It's intriguing.
Yeah. The word non-fungible, like, stop.
What does fungible even mean?
Stop.
The first time I heard about it was on Rich's show when Rich and I were doing an interview with a guy, and he was doing something with music and NFTs, and Rich and I are going, NFT, what the hell is an NFT?
Yeah.
And that was like maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It is nuts.
Yeah.
Man, oh, I mean, they have had quite the rise.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not going away. You don't have something that goes and makes $41 billion in a year in industry and just poof, disappears. It's you know, the media has really latched onto one use case in the digital art market.
Right.
You got to understand that the art market, in the traditional art market, mm-hmm. is plagued with issues,
right.
transparency issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of fraud in that business, a lot of forgery. The industry itself needs help
mm-hmm.
pretty desperately. Mm-hmm. And it's and fine art has a value. Precious metals, they have a value. And so one of the interesting use cases for NFTs when applied to digital art is the idea of transparency, being able to own something and trace it. Trace the ownership, the authenticity of that piece
right.
through its entire life. That's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But there are a lot of other use cases for NFTs. Even using, in the, we'll stay with the art case for a sec, the actual, you know, the art, let's say a brand
mm-hmm.
Can get a lot of value out of that through using an NFT to add value, some sort of asset back.
Right.
Backing for that actual NFT token where their community, whoever buys it, maybe they get something for it. They get access to a conference.
Right.
Or let's say you're a fan of Adidas sneakers. Well, mm-hmm. when the next is, maybe you buy an NFT that has a collector's edition, maybe it's a maybe it's a collector's edition asset or something, early access assigned to it. So
yeah.
forever in perpetuity, whoever owns that maybe gets early access to the next sneaker in their limited edition collection
right.
or whatever.
It's almost like signing up for a fan club in a way.
It is.
Right?
It is. So you can assign tangible value to it.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, not all art is just art. Some of it might have some art tokens might have a tangible, like I said, asset that means something to somebody else. And mm-hmm. then sometimes, to be truthful, it's just a frickin' flex.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a quote earlier from Gary Vee, and I thought that this was probably one of the best ways to describe why you would want to buy an NFT just for art's sake,
mm-hmm.
you know, art's sake. Cause here's what he said, sort of. He said, you can take a picture of a building you saw in New York City,
yeah.
but it's not the same as owning the frickin' building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. There's a flex that goes with, you know, as somebody who went bought a big Beeple piece. Beeple's one of the most famous, well, probably the most famous digital artists right now. He's got a piece that just sold for $69 million in, like, I think it's Sotheby's auction, and he's crushing it.
Right.
It's not an asset backed NFT. It's a piece of art. And I'm not saying, it's not special. It is, there's a lot more to it than that, but it is meant to be admired.
Yeah.
and yes, you can right click and save that image, and you can have it on your computer or your phone, but you don't own it. You know what I mean? You don't really own it. It's not yours. And I think that's why I like that Gary Vee quote. You know, you can take a picture of a building. You can save a picture of somebody's Mona Lisa, or, you know, whoever owned the Mona Lisa, if someone did. And,
right.
You know, but you don't really freaking own it. It's not really yours.
But the value of it goes up with the, with the popularity of the piece, right?
Yeah.
So, the more popular you are,
yeah.
the, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It's a fame game.
Yeah, it right? is. It is. So it can be art for art's sake, you know, something you own and you want to admire.
Right.
I'm not sure why people so criticize it so much, because we buy things
it.
All the time
right.
That we want to own that means something to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly should begin and end there, but it doesn't. But other use cases you described, fractionalized ownership.
Yeah.
Love, hate.
Is that pretty much what it is?
I think fractionalized ownership is the future.
Right.
I think it's one of the future use cases. I think it's really going to be around forever. Let's talk about real estate.
Right.
How expensive is everything everywhere? I mean, not to be general.
So do you think
on.
NFTs are going to lead the way
yes.
for real estate? So
yes.
I don't need You know, let's say I want to buy a vacation home.
Yes.
It's like a timeshare.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, is it...
You can... Yeah. And so there are some companies that are coming to market with fractionalized ownership.
Yeah. NFTs.
And that you use an NFT. So you get a token that represents your value, your share, just like you would if you got a stock. You get a stockholder certificate. You still get a certificate with a fancy little number, you know. And that represents how, you know, how much you own. It's the same thing with the building. Think about in Nashville. Here we are in Nashville. Historic buildings getting torn down all the time. It's always a really big deal.
Yeah.
Social media, the justice warriors are like, no, you just took down a building that meant something to somebody in 1911, you know. Yeah. And what if you and your friends could go buy that building?
Mm-hmm.
What if you could? And you can do that through fractional ownership with NFT. You can start I have a DAO, another awful name, Decentralized Autonomous Organization. Doesn't roll off the tongue.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's terrible. DAO, let's just call it a DAO, right?
Right.
DAO. So you can use a DAO and you can, and the members of that DAO, think about it as crowdfunding. You're basically crowdfunding.
That's what it sounds like.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So you can use that and assemble people, like-minded people who want to go buy something. There was a DAO that tried to go buy a constitution. Actually, they bid and they were the highest bidder, but there was a concern that they may not be able to maintain the constitution.
Right.
But you know, you can assemble a DAO or crowdfunding to go buy a building, go buy that historical building with your friends downtown that you don't want to see get destroyed, you know.
Just a matter of, hey, we're doing this. Do you want in?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can go in and, you know, right now the DAO is priced at...
Exactly.
Know, $8 a coin or whatever.
Right. That's right. And you get a coin for it
and
you own it.
Yeah.
You know, and
you can buy however many coins you want.
Yeah. And those coins give you a voting right. And there's not a president or a CEO.
Share. Yeah.
Exactly.
But the contract is on the blockchain, right?
That's right.
So the contract is for public perusal. Everybody can see it. It's transparent.
Fully transparent. You can transfer your shares to your kids, you know, you can transfer your shares. The more shares you have, the more voting rights you have.
Sure.
It's because it's decentralized. The members own and vote on the organization.
It's a whole mind wraparound.
It is.
There's a mortgage product, and I'm wondering if a lot of mortgage people can get into this, because a friend of mine who runs her own company. Mortgages. And she's got a product, I think she's kind of spearheading, almost like crowdfunding a newlywed's down payment for their house.
Yes.
So instead of giving a wedding gift,
you do a DAO.
Hey, everybody can do, you can do a DAO.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. You know? Do a DAO and you can vote together on where that money goes.
Yeah.
You know?
But for me, I'm such a, my mind doesn't go that fast because I'm thinking to myself, even my friend who's in the mortgage business, she had a different product called the all-in-one mortgage. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a traditional mortgage, everything is in your house. So any sort of income you get is actually on the house, and the mortgage of the house goes down. You make a paycheck, your mortgage goes down by that amount. So it's tied to the home's equity.
Yeah.
So you live and die and pay all your bills and live life off of a debit card that's attached to your house.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all your debts, you need to pay the electric bill. It comes at your what you owe on your mortgage goes up per what the electric bill amount was, right? Mm-hmm. You need to pay your car payment. It goes up. But then all of a sudden you get paid. It comes back down.
Yeah.
And you're getting charged daily interest instead of, you know, APR, you know, whatever the interest rate is. I thought it was I'm like, that's an amazing idea.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing idea.
But it took me like a week of thinking about it going, oh, okay, I get it. This is me though.
Yeah.
You know, that's my problem is figuring out I'm just an idiot.
Maybe. I'm just kidding. No, you're not.
I mean, but why can't I wrap my head around these things?
Because it's complex, you know, and in today's society, information moves so fast.
Yeah.
If you think about how much information we're absorbing on a daily basis,
mind-numbing.
I can just go to MSN.com right now, and I can consume a lot a little bit of information. I might, you know, scroll down and see something about some new scientific research study, and then boom, there's a cure for cancer that's being, you know, tested in the Amsterdam.
And that's just the headlines.
And boom, there's, you know, there's some new financial product that is on the market. And you're just, you know, think about how much information we're absorbing. It's too much to really, We're scratching the surface on a lot of information. It's too much to truly grasp at once. And you can only pursue so much at a time. And it's just not how we're wired.
No.
So it's like we have this expectation. And it's just the society we live in, with this expectation that when we take something in, we need to understand it. And if we don't get it right away, we write it off as, this is scam, this isn't real, this isn't viable. And it's like, why do we have to make everything be valuable for everyone?
You know, FOMO.
Yeah, that's so real. And why do we have to be a master of everything? You know, I don't understand that, but I want to as well, though. Right. I mean, I do too. I mean, I'm too OCD, and I, you know, legitimately.
Do you feel like you understand the crypto NFT space fully?
No.
No?
No, and I've worked in
that
it
makes
for
me
years.
Feel
I've worked in it for years. It's because I mean, of course I understand the fundamentals of it. And I know a lot about different applications of use, like DeSci and DeSo. I feel like I have a significant amount of knowledge compared to the average person.
Right.
But that doesn't mean anything. This whole industry is changing every single day.
Right.
And it is humbling to work with people who are learning alongside you. You know, I mean, there are folks that are getting PhDs in cryptography. Who knew what the hell that was?
I don't even know what that is.
Well, there you go.
Study of crypto, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of. Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, like these concepts are happening around us. There are folks that are getting these advanced degrees and studying these new things that my mother doesn't know anything about, and that's okay. You know, it's got to be okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not real and viable. And it's going to take a while, though. Like I said, because of how we learn and how we consume information right now.
Well, my son, as of today, 14 years old, right? He's making his own music.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine he could actually use NFTs to
of course.
Start a career.
Yeah.
You know, doing music.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course he can.
Yeah. I told him a year ago, I said, look into this NFT thing. I have a feeling it's going to be huge in your life. The earlier you learn about it, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah.
Because I remember when
days.
I was 20 years old about the internet, and, you know, I didn't have the money to put into the internet stocks at that point.
Yeah.
My father did. I think he did pretty well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it became a bubble. It went, you know, everyone thought it was a fad. It was going away. It didn't. It's a way of life right now. I just think that, you know, I'm just making sure I've got my chips and my bets placed. And hearing my coins that I'm invested in, you're like, you're such a noob right now, dude.
So noob.
You think I'm a noob?
Yeah, you're totally a noob. But who isn't? You know,
because I'm like, you know, well, you got to buy it on a decentralized exchange. Okay.
Whatever. I don't know what any, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't buy this on Coinbase. You got to buy it on Coinbase wallet. Ugh.
Oh, I hate that.
Let me go to the freaking wallet.
It's 37-step
You
got to
buy this kind of thing, and you got to have this much fuel or gas, and oh, God.
These are major barriers to entry, though.
It is. You got to be a freaking, you got to be really into it in order to get, like, you know, someone said Shib Doge is the next, you know, that's going to be the big thing.
Yeah.
You know, you go, you look it up, you can't buy it.
You know,
you got to freaking go through, you got to jump through 8 different hoops to freaking buy a damn coin and figure out how to do it, you know?
I know.
Put your money in all these different, you got to go here and buy this coin and then bring it over here and convert it to that coin. I'm like, oh gosh.
That's right. And if only.
Freaking saw me in half.
If there was a place, right? If you could just go to a place, a website that just says, here's every coin available. There are thousands and thousands of coins. And it's hard to believe, but there are thousands of coins you could invest in, just like the stock market.
Yeah.
But imagine if you could just go to a place where you're like, where do I buy this coin? And it said, here are all the exchanges that use it.
Is there a site like that?
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe that's your thing.
I've looked for it. I haven't found it.
You think that's a problem to be solved?
Of course it is. It's a problem to be solved. Yeah, because, you know, it is Wild West. And so, you know, these exchanges which are just, you know, like stock market.
It is.
Stock brokerages, right? Yeah. That's all it is. But for some reason, we have to have our own freaking word, you know. But it's the same damn thing. And so, you know, if you go to one exchange, you it might look like they have 3,000 coins, but maybe they don't have the one you want.
Right.
And very likely that's the case. I mean, pretty much everyone has Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Those are the big, that's the Coke and Pepsi right now.
Yeah, that's the Coke and Pepsi. Yeah, and they're maximalists.
Yeah.
Bitcoin maximalists. They're all in. But then the other category
that broke out are the exchanges and the way to buy and purchase these, like Coinbase.
Yeah, they just don't all have the rights to list every coin. They don't.
Crypto.com is another one. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, what was that?
Yeah, massive.
Kraken. I've got Kraken on
here. There's an OK coin, a KuCoin.
I just signed up for Lunar Crush so I could put all my coins in one friggin' app and see everything.
Gemini. There's so many.
It is.
And they all have different values and different, you know, different user experiences. But
and you go in with the best of intentions because I downloaded Lunar Crush because somebody was talking about how this is the app that will tell you the trending coins and, you know, you'll learn how to do it. And then you get the app, you sign up, and this is how to really work your way up in the app to become a better, you know, more stars in your profile.
Yeah, whatever.
The friggin' time for this crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just show me how to freaking, you know, E-Trade. Figure out what E-Trade did. Yeah. All right? Just do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's very likely that a lot of these exchanges and this industry was very much built by technologists.
Yeah.
Not user experience pros. They're not doing the user journeys like we used to do. They're not mapping all that shit out on the wall, thinking
as soon as that happens,
take them through. It will transform it.
It'll transform it, but then it'll be too late.
I know, right? Oh my God, that's so true.
You missed the boat, man.
Yes,
everybody's
for sure.
Jumping on now.
It's done. Yeah.
But you know what? If you figure out a way to get in now, like, you know, I figured I had to jump through the hoops back in 2018 to put $100 in the Ripple, you know, because I saw something on Twitter or whatever that said that Ripple is the next coin and yada blah, blah, Ripple. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Let me look it up. Let me figure. And I spent an hour just, okay, how do I buy Ripple?
Yeah.
Well, you got to go into, I think it might have been Kraken. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was, I had to go through two or three different steps.
Oh, yeah.
To convert different currencies to finally get to the fucking Ripple.
Yeah.
Pardon my French.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
And then you got to do a, you know, verify your freaking two-step auth and do the freaking thing. And you got 15 seconds to verify oh, God.
It protects you, the two-factor authentication.
I get it.
I don't have to do that to buy stock. I don't have to even do that to buy stock. But I do like the extra lever of security. But my God, it needs to be fixed. I mean, it's too
convoluted.
Yeah. But if you think about the law of diffusion of innovation, another horrible term, but for a very valuable premise.
Yeah, it's the bell curve.
That's right. The bell curve that shows us where we're at. You know,
where do you think we are? Still on the up?
We're in the innovator. It's innovator, and you've got the, you know,
early adopter.
You've got late adopter, you know, the early majority, late majority. You know, we're not even, and then laggards, right? We aren't even close. We're 5 to 10%.
Right.
Of awareness. And
so I'm in a good position. Right. By the time I'm 60, I should be a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Next
you promise?
Year. I'm just kidding. Same age, whatever.
Make this go on record right now. Julie said.
No. But you know, the thing is, though, I just feel like if you look at how much money is being spent, how much money is being made, I mean, the benefits that some countries are, you know, are actually adopting cryptocurrency as an example as their own currency. Their currency's already been smashed. It's just smashed, you know, like El Salvador. I mean, their native currency is garbage. It's not. It's worthless.
Right.
And they needed help. They needed a restart. And no, now they're using Bitcoin.
Right.
They're using volcanoes to mine for the power. To
really?
Mine Bitcoin,
to provide the power, to run the computers.
Yeah.
When a friend of mine was telling me, he says, "Look, you just need to start mining." I'm going, "You're speaking Greek, dude."
Yeah.
You know, You just need to have the power, and you know, I'm like, I don't know.
You can get these, like, they're called little mining rigs.
Little machines.
Yeah, they're adorable. And you look, USB, plug it in your computer. It uses a ton of processing power, and that is a mechanism for a hobbyist. Nothing wrong with that. But in using it in that way is going to take you forever to mine a coin.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
if you mine a Bitcoin, you're doing pretty well.
I think so. Well, it depends on, you know.
How do you mine a coin, though? I mean, where is it?
It's a computer processor. It's a system that happens on the computer. It's an application that's running this algorithm over and over and over again. And, you know, places that token on the blockchain, you know, create after a certain period of time, a token is created and it exists. It's not something you're physically like, it's not like some hacker you imagine with a, you know, trench
coat
over
their head. Not like the 1996 movie
with
Angelina Jolie. Remember that movie?
Yes.
When they're running through the subways?
Yes.
That was the hacker mentality in the community.
That's right.
That's what they looked like.
That's what they look like.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're badasses.
Stereotypes. So badass. It's just not like that. You're not having to.
They went to the payphones with the little cradle. You had to put the phone on the cradle. And it was so cutting edge. Those people are like in their 50s now and they're freaking ancient.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's how you do it. You don't have to physically do it. You know.
I know. You're not sitting there with a pickaxe freaking chopping away at something.
No.
So technology-wise, you and I talked about the pendulum. We're big fans of the book and everything. A lot of the early voices that are in the wilderness, right, that they talk about in the book, we should start seeing them right now. The technology of crypto, I have a feeling it's going to be a big part of that. You know?
I do too. Better too.
Moving forward in the next decade or so.
Yeah.
But with that being said,
hey,
no, that's not what I wanted. Oh, here we go.
What's your problem?
This is a podcast where we try and figure out what your problem is. But I mean, it's like you're solving my problems. You know more about. I've got a lot of crypto problems. But what problems are you having these days?
Oh.
Anything?
Yeah, probably.
Just want people to understand crypto better or no?
No. I mean, it's just one of many things that I do. I'm a storyteller. You know, as we talked about this, I'm a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
your background is so varied. We never got into this in the beginning.
We don't have to.
SEO, websites. You did a lot of digital marketing back in the day.
Yeah.
We did the marriage of radio and digital back in the day.
We built something so cool, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Worked with really cool people.
Yeah.
Made a lot of fun videos.
Oh, so fun.
But, you know, you kind of carried that forward. And I've always been intrigued, like, you know, okay, just to be frank, you've always had a lot of money, seemingly.
I'm not sure.
What do you do?
I'm not sure. Oh, well.
You always drove really nice cars.
But I have to live with so much practicality in my life. And the car thing, Jim, we probably talked about this 15 years ago. It hasn't changed.
Right.
The car thing for me is that I have to be practical every aspect of my life, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So I need something that is impractical.
You got to have a little fun.
I got to. And
but I mean, all the other stuff that you do, like this, you know, the network deals that we talked about in the past, you know.
Documentaries, and the
animated stuff. Guys, World of Nedge.
I love it.
You've done all these things.
I know.
I'd get into these, and I would tell my friends, I'm like, I'm working with a prankster over, you know, on a Thursday and Friday afternoon in downtown Nashville. He's got a freaking briefcase full of dildos. And he's walking across the street, dropping this thing in the middle of traffic and frantically trying to pick them up. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever done.
It is.
And I'm going, where did you meet these people?
It's like, you know, I'm a storyteller and I have this crazy affinity for people who are also storytellers and creators. And it's a habit I can't shake. It's going to go with me to the grave, man. Yeah. You know, that's my problem. I really...
Well, that's not... Is it a problem if you... Is it something you like to have?
Well, no, I like it. You know, I mean, I like it a lot. I think at times it can, for me, can create a little bit of identity crisis. But I, you know, we were talking about this earlier. I really like the fact that in this day and age, I don't have to have a job title that identifies me, who I am.
Right.
You know, I'm a... I'm a lot of things. They're all rooted in me being a, you know, creator and a brand lover and a storyteller.
Do you think the more is the world is more accepting of the
people
multitude?
Like you and I? Yeah.
Right. Cause I mean, I juggle a lot of things.
Yeah, I hope so. But it's like, it used to be, it used to be that you couldn't be an operations expert and a marketing expert, you know, a brand. You couldn't be both a left and right brain person, but I am, you are, mm-hmm. you know, it's to me, I don't think it's fair that you have to put yourself in a box. I know that we need to form emotional connections. We need to figure out what we have in common. We need to figure out what our interests are so we can form those tribes.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. for somebody like me, who's a high B, I will be wherever you want me to be, as long as I believe in the story that you're trying to tell. And I will fill that brand or operationalizing role to help you tell that story. And I don't know if it's a problem. It feels like a problem for me sometimes because right. it still sometimes feels like I'm being pulled in a different direction. I have tried to work exclusively in operations and I was miserable. I have to have my hand on something. I got to be at least have a seat at the table where at least I'm listening to creators or talking to them.
Right.
I tried to work only in marketing and I was miserable, even though working on big projects and things that felt meaningful, but I didn't feel fulfilled. So I don't know.
The only challenge I have with that is that my early introduction to marketing was through the recent Trout books, 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
Yeah.
And that was huge in the radio space. And we used a lot of those principles for marketing the radio stations and such. The only challenge I have with me is the fact that, okay, what's my big idea? What's the word in the mind that I own?
Yeah. You know?
And that's, since I've gone on my own, doing my own thing, being self-employed, a lot of what I do are podcasts, voiceover, video production, things of that nature. But at the same time, we're doing lighting, you know, and I'm doing the marketing for our company, doing lighting and stuff like that. But this company may evolve into other things. And how you got to pivot, you got to evolve. So when I tell people, I almost sheepishly, I always start off, on one hand, I do this. And on the other hand, I do that, you know, and it's to me, I'm like, you know, there's power in focus.
There is, but you know, Simon Sinek has this philosophy of start with a why.
Yeah.
And I would say that it is one of the most frustrating things for me trying to help small businesses and even individuals trying to figure out what that thread is. Mm-hmm. What's the thread or the narrative or, you know, in the story you're trying to tell personally about yourself or professionally about your company? And I think starting with the why is a really big deal because if you figure out what gets you out of bed in the morning, you will find a thread amongst every single thing you do.
Yeah.
And I like to also marry that with archetypes. Yeah. I'm obsessed with the hero and the outlaw. You know, big businesses have known this for decades. Small businesses just don't get it. They might think they know a problem they're trying to solve and they rush to market and do it. And then they don't really understand why them, why now? You know, it's not about ever really about the how or the what. It really starts with the why. What is your passion? You know, what's unique about you? What causes you to want to take action on something? It's not as tangible as you think it is. But if you really spend some time thinking about it, you'll find it. You might be the hero. You might be a hero archetype. You know, your why might be because you like to solve problems for people. That sounds oversimplified, but, you know, there is a thread. There is a thread.
There's totally a thread.
They're not unrelated.
How are we doing on time? I know that you got to get out of here.
We're doing good. We're doing fine. Yeah, we can wrap, but you know, we're good.
Yeah, but I mean, the common thread in making it make sense for other people, which is the important part. And as marketers, we got to always keep that in mind.
Yeah.
It's not about us. It's about them.
That's right.
But I mean, over time, I think there's a lot of people that know me and understand me. It's the new people that go, wait a minute. But, you know, I was on Brad Lee's podcast in November.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, he says, well, on one thing, he did the voiceover for my podcast.
Yeah.
And gave me a big plug. And then on the other, he says, but you also do lighting. I'm like, yeah.
Because you're talking about the how and the what.
I know.
You're talking about the why, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the why. You got to think about when you introduce yourself about why you're doing what you do.
Right.
Not the how and the what. Because the truth is, the why is what forms that connection with people. It's what makes you unique, and it never changes. It will never change.
Wow, you dropped some bombs here.
What?
You are.
I've missed talking to you, Jim. I'm glad you had me. Thank you.
You are dropping some bombs.
I got
to
see.
We have to have some sort of a sound effect for that.
Yeah, we do.
We'll do that.
That's not a bomb, but
it's like the sexy bedroom bed.
Well,
you're dropping bombs. That's right. Every single podcast, I always have to bring these beds into play for some reason. So what else are you doing? What else is going on with Julie Chadbourne these days?
That's about it.
Any other big news you want to disclose? It's yet to be determined.
No.
Gotcha.
No big news. Gotcha. No. Mm-hmm. Keeping it under my vest.
Yeah, I get you. I get it. Don't want to jinx anything.
Nothing. Yeah.
But I mean, what are some of the more fun projects you've worked on that come to mind?
So much.
Do you
so
miss
much.
Jack FM and all that stuff?
I loved working there. Are you serious? I mean, that was such a unique opportunity to build that agency and bridge the gap between the radio and the digital world. Wow, what a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, and all the, whenever you can surround yourself with great people who, you know, wake up every day feeling a sense of purpose and want to create something unique and different or whatever, you know, you surround yourself with people that inspire you.
Yeah.
It's everything. It's everything. I love that.
We definitely had a lot of different personalities.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that place.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a production company, with my business partner, Brian Beasley.
Yeah.
And, we've got a lot of shows in development and I love it. I love it. And I may never be able to say that I made my living on that, you know, not to say that we haven't, you know, had some success and stuff, but man, I love it. It's so inspiring to work with, you know, folks, animators who specialize in making lighting effects.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? This is incredible.
It is quite amazing. There are people in animation that specialize in hair.
Everything.
Right.
The foot. The joints, I mean, everything, but they're passionate about it. They love it. It gets them out of bed in the morning. And that makes me really excited. And I don't know. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And who knows what will happen. And you know, we've had some good success. We've been recognized. We won a film festival. That was pretty cool. But you know, I don't know.
Where can people find your stuff?
Well, you can go to 33 Media. It's 30three.me. Or you can go to csquared.io.
Right on.
And you can find everything. I'm transparent, you know.
Right.
Unless it's in development.
Are you getting anything, anybody coming to you for podcasts? Hey, I want to do a podcast, anything like that?
Occasionally, yeah.
You got to send them my way, man.
Of course I will.
I got to build that business up.
Of course I will.
I'll put that out there.
Yeah.
I'm putting it on your shoulders.
Please put it on me.
We're going to dow this shit.
Dow it.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, thanks for guys for chiming in.
Thank you.
Follow Julie we'll put all the contact information in the description and everything. And of course, follow us, whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Again, subscribe, like, share, rate, all that fun stuff. Again, Julie, thanks for being on.
Thanks,
really,
Jim.
Always so great fun. To see you. And guys, we'll talk to you soon.